Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Our reading from God's most precious holy word is from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16, Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13, and the Gospel according to Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. The message is titled, The Gracious Promise. The prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33, beginning of verse 14. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Here ends from the prophet Jeremiah. Psalm 25, a psalm of David, beginning at verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. Here ends a reading from Psalm 25. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. How can we thank God enough for you? In return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Here ends a reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 25. Jesus is teaching. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nation will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Here ends our reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and things that had grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's from the liturgical book of the early church, the Gelesium Sacramentary. Thanksgiving has many memories for me through the years. Talking on the phone this past Thanksgiving with my younger brother, Thanksgiving Day, we were reminiscing. He asked me about what I remember about Thanksgiving as a child. And I said, going to my parents' friends who lived in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, going to Chuck and Goldie, friends from the time my dad and mom were at that university up north. Yes, my dad attended Michigan. My mom worked extra hard to get her teaching degree in 3 years instead of the normal 4 years at Luther College in Decorah, to be able to be married and join my dad up at Ann Arbor at Michigan. It was at the Lutheran Center up there my mom and dad met Chuck and Goldie. Chuck was an exceptional organist and musician, and after graduating with his degree there at Michigan, he was an associate professor of music at Wilson College in Chambersburg for 25 years. A lifelong friendship between my parents and them. Goldie came to Heather's in my wedding, too. Memories of several Thanksgivings of my family traveling that 2 hours to Chambersburg from Bowie. A very special time together. And as we were leaving Bowie, we, that is my brothers and I, my sister was quite young at that time, my brothers and I, we always hoped there would be snow at Chuck and Goldie's to play in, to sled in, and have fun. They had a daughter. She fell between me and my younger brother, a couple years younger than me, a couple years older than him. And we enjoyed just being with the whole family. One of the other things we hoped for when we were there, besides hoping for snow, we hoped to play with the Matchbox cars, one or two, perhaps. Chuck was very astute and began collecting Matchbox cars and kept them in those little matchbooks they came in. Do you remember those little yellow boxes with the words written in red, Matchbox? And then the color of the image of the vehicle that was inside that box. These are the 1960s and early 70s. Each time a new Matchbox car came out, Chuck would go buy that Matchbox car, that vehicle, and he kept them in pristine condition in their boxes. We hope to have that very special moment of taking a car out of a box and play with it for a little while, carefully, and then put it back in the box carefully. Chuck was very kind and generous to allow me and my brothers to play with those matchbox cars. Now, hoping for snow, sometimes there was snow to play in and go sledding. Hoping to play with matchbox cars, that was always fulfilled. Yet both those hopes were beyond my ability to control the outcomes of and so forth. Well, the weather is the weather up in Pennsylvania. And whether the weather would have snow waiting for us, I didn't know. Chambersburg, that was a huge wish to have snow. That hope was more of a wish for snow. And the weather we'd be permitted to play with those fantastic matchbox cars that depended on the graciousness and the kindness of our host. Then another memory my younger brother and I came up with, it was talking about being down at their place in Arden, North Carolina, at Luther Ridge. Yes, their family had a cabin in the hills there of Arden, North Carolina, on Luther Ridge. And in the basement of that home was a player piano. And player pianos are fascinating instruments. I mean, you pull the roll out of its box, you set it in its place, then you stretch it across and hook it onto the receiving roll, and you roll a little bit in the player mechanism to make sure it grabs well, and then you start pumping to create that vacuum. Yes, it's a vacuum that runs the mechanism. I mean, it's to put the roll of music into the player piano is very similar to loading old 35mm cameras, where you take a little bit of film out, you put the film cartridge in place, and you stretch it across and hook it onto the receiving roll, and you advance it a little bit to make sure it grabs. That's the player piano roll, and you start pumping the feet. And I mean, it's just captivating to see those little cuts, those little rectangles, long and short, but very narrow rectangles, go over the system and through the system as the music unrolls and the music comes. Keep those feet going. Watch the keys move. I mean, the keys move as the player piano plays. One of my favorite was the little drummer boy and that boom, 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 boom on the bass end and watching all those keys, boom, boom, doing the drum beat. My brother, my younger brother, said he hoped to one day have a player piano. Most likely that hope is wishful thinking. I mean, it's a wishful dream that will always be out there as a fanciful thought when he says, I hope to have a player piano. It's a fanciful thought, most likely. So that hope for snow, hope to play with matchbox car, hope for player piano. We use the word hope in all of them. Sometimes fulfilled, maybe will be fulfilled. Fanciful wish way out there. But we're speaking of a different kind of hope today, which this Sunday stands for in Advent. When we said, like the dawn of a new day, the coming light of Christ brings hope. This kind of hope is full of certainty. There's no iffiness, no simple wishful prayer that in times past were often said when that huge and magnificently wonderful Sears Christmas catalog came in the mail with so many wonderful Christmas toys. For me, it was the G.I. Joe adventure sets of the 1960s and early 70s. What was it for you? Those of you who remember those giant Sears Christmas wish catalogs, what did you hope for as a child to find under the Christmas tree? Did you often get what you hoped for? Once in a while, what you hoped for? Did anyone get everything they hoped for under the Christmas tree? I mean, from all those dog-eared Sears catalog pages, and of course there's Montgomery Ward, JCPenney. I mean, there's a slew of catalogs. Hope. Psalm 25, beginning of verse 3. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you. All day long. The Hebrew word translated as hope can also be translated as wait, to look for, to expect. The idea conveyed in this word is waiting with anticipation. That is, looking forward to something with eager expectation. Not passive waiting, but a confident expectation of God's action and fulfillment of His promises. Let that sink in. It's very different than the way, oh, I hope to get for Christmas, I have two front teeth. I mean, all I want for Christmas. I mean, it's very different than that, this word hope in Psalm 25. It's a confident expectation of God's action and God's fulfillment of His promises. More from BibleHub.com in describing the cultural context of how this word works in the historical background. Waiting, to wait, was often associated with faith and trust in God's timing and provision. A spiritual discipline of waiting on the Lord is written about and recurs oftentimes in the Scripture. The reality of this Hebrew word is a deep-seated belief in God's faithfulness, in God's sovereignty. Flowing from the trust in the living God, in the reality of the covenantal relationship. Yes, the relationship of the covenant God established, which is not an abstract concept. It's a practical expression of the faith. This faith then is lived out devoutly through obedience to the ways of the Lord with vibrant hope. So David's saying, in you I hope, but also David's saying, teach me your ways, show me, guide me. It all fits together because it's a part of in that covenant relationship and devotion through obedience. This hope is directly connected to faith. The great faith, the by faith chapter in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11 begins in this manner. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then throughout the chapter you hear, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And faith is certain, is sure hope. Certain, there's no iffiness, there's no question. It's there. The hope is there. The trust is there. We have it. Hope, the Greek word can be translated as to hope, to expect, to trust. And again, from BibleHub.com. And how this is used in the New Testament, this Greek word, it conveys the sense of having confident expectation or trust. The context is often of the believer's hope in God and His promises. This hope is not mere wishful thinking, but a firm assurance. A firm assurance. And this firm assurance is based on the faith. As the faith is, this hope is rooted in the certainty of God's promises. And in the New Testament, rooted in the certainty brought about of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's being rooted in the historical reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The tomb is empty, and this hope transforms. It gives strength. It gives perseverance amid the trials, as you see in the New Testament that came to the early church. Jeremiah 33, beginning of verse 14. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. In the Hebrew of Jeremiah 33, verse 14, The Hebrew begins with, behold. Behold. Yes, that's how the verse begins in the Hebrew. Behold. This behold functions in the same manner as the Greek word ideo, ido. And in the Septuagint and in the New Testament, ido is translated as behold. Behold. It's an interjection to draw attention, to emphasize the importance of what follows. Pay attention. Behold, what follows is significant. Oftentimes this behold, the Hebrew word for behold, is found in the prophetic scriptures, pointing to God's action. Behold, God will arise. That's the image of the Hebrew of Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 14. Behold, God will arise. That is the action of standing up, and it means something's about to happen. God is rising. Something's about to happen. This action is being taken place. And in this case, it's the fulfillment of a promise to the house of Israel, particularly to the house of Judah. A promise given. It's recorded in Genesis chapter 49. When Jacob, a very old man about to die, Jacob, whom God named Israel, blesses his sons. To Judah, the fourthborn son. Yes, Judah's the fourthborn. Jacob speaks, beginning Genesis 49, beginning at verse 8. Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. The days are coming. God will rise into action and fulfill the promise made to the house of Israel, the house of Judah. God will fulfill the gracious promise. Gracious promise from Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Gracious promise. The Hebrew word is tob, and it means good. Often translated as good, but can be translated as gracious, can be translated as a lot of different things, because Hebrew is a wonderful language. But this tob, in the creation account, tob is repeated over and over to describe God's creation. At the first day, everything was tob, good. Morning, evening, morning, and so forth. Then on the sixth day of creation, after the creation of man in God's image, male and female, he created them in God's image, the description becomes exceedingly good. Exceedingly good. This tob is now modified to exceedingly tob good. This tob is deeply connected with the character and nature of God. God is good. In the fullness of the meaning, good, and much more than that, because we just can't comprehend pure good. God is good through and through. Tob can be translated as gracious too. And God is gracious and slow to anger and abounding in love. You find that written in the scriptures too. The time will come when the good, the gracious promise will be fulfilled. Promise in the Hebrew is the word to speak. God spoke creation into action. God said, let there be light, and there was light. For God to speak means action will happen. God rise, action will happen. God speaks, action will happen. The promise has been spoken in the past. It will be fulfilled. At the time God sets forth, more specifically, a branch of David, from David's line, as the Lord promised through the prophet Nathan, as written in 2 Samuel chapter 7. The Lord said, 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning at the second half of verse 11 through the first part of verse 14. The Lord declares to you that the Lord Himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish His kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of His kingdom forever. I will be His father. He will be my son. Your house, this is now jumping down to verse 16, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. The child was born to the house of Israel, born to the house of Judah, born to the house of David, just as the Lord graciously promised. The angel of God instructed Joseph to give the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This child was born in Bethlehem. As Joseph had to travel to his hometown to register, Bethlehem, the city of David. Why is it called the city of David, Bethlehem? Because Bethlehem was David's hometown, the place he grew up. The place where 2 Samuel found him, the son of Jesse, was out tending the sheep around Bethlehem, and Samuel anointed him to be king. Jesus was crucified for our sins, shed his blood, and died for us. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and will come again. And that's what we find here in Luke chapter 21, beginning of verse 27. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Jesus, the Son of God, who is fully God, has spoken the promise. The Son of Man will come, meaning Himself. He will come, because Son of Man was one of His favorite terms to call Himself. Will be bringing redemption. And that word is coming. It actually is immediate imminence. Is here. The immediate imminence is here. Your redemption is the immediate imminence. It's here. Be filled with hope. As the Lord spoke the gracious promise, which was fulfilled in the incarnation, the birth of Jesus, the Son of God. And that gracious promise spoken by Jesus, the Son of Man, is coming. It will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. This is the faith of the church. This is the faith that fills us with hope. For we know with certainty all these things will come to pass. The scepter will not depart. The righteous branch has come. We will be saved. For the Lord is our righteousness. And we will see Him. When that day comes, we will see Him as Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. See Him in all His glory, sitting on the throne of the everlasting kingdom. Fulfilled will be all these gracious promises spoken by the living Lord God, forever and ever, without end. Amen. And amen.